It seems like 2023 is going to be no different when it comes to the volatility, the negative headlines, as well as people thinking there's opportunities, but there might not be. And then there actually is opportunities, but no one capitalizes on it. It's going to be a shit show. But essentially in this video, I want to break down my six top things that I'm looking at prioritizing when it comes to building and protecting your wealth in 2023. If you're interested, keep watching. Hey guys, my name's Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. Now, if you are looking at real estate in 2023, you want to be doing it with the right team, and having someone do it for you is going to be the best way to do it, especially if you lack the experience and you want to move quickly. So if you're interested in the buyer's agency, I'll leave a link in the description below to my website, as well as my email in the pinned comments down below. We basically specialize in helping investors like yourself to purchase property, positive cash flow, build that machine in the background while you focus on these next six tips. Number one is bolster up your emergency fund. Now, if we happen to go through a recession, whether it's in the US or the UK or even here in Australia, what you're going to want to do is have a strong emergency fund. What we're seeing already around the world is our personal savings rates going through the floor. In Australia, we're doing better than what's happening in the US. And you can clearly see this in this graph here, how bad the US situation is. Why it's so important to have that emergency fund, full stop, is so you're protecting yourself from a rainy day. Think about like this. You've got assets like real estate and you go out, you purchase crypto, you purchase stocks, and then you realize you've got no money left and you're saying, well, YOLO, you know, things are okay. I'm not sure if people still say YOLO, but let's just go with it. And they say, well, okay, I can continue doing this, no problems. But let's say, for instance, something happens to you, you know, you get in a car accident or there's a medical issue that comes up and now you need quick cash. Now, in that situation, you would go, well, I could just sell some crypto, take out that money. What happens if you're actually losing money on that trade? What happens in the case that you're doing it within 12 months and you've made a profit, but now you're paying higher capital gains tax as well? So you're probably not wanting to let go of those assets. So in effect, what you want to do is have some rainy day funds, basically having it there, not touching it at all in case something bad happens. This is budgeting 101 and is something that's so important, especially in 2023, because believe me, I think we're going to get volatility to a whole nother level, especially when it comes to markets like crypto and stocks. Number two is access the equity in your property. So let's say, for instance, you bought a property in the last 2 years and the actual value has gone up and the banks come in and say, a valuation of say $30,000 to $40,000 higher at a minimum than what you actually purchased it for. You have a couple of options. You can say, thank you, bank. I'm going to do nothing with that information. Or you can actually say, well, I'm going to access some of that equity and have it sit in an offset account. Having it sit there means that you've got liquid cash available to you. This then ties in with number one, which is the emergency fund part, which means you're able to actually go and invest a lot more and have the peace of mind that you've got the bank valuation that you did and you've accessed that equity. Now, the downside risk to this is the fact that your property could be valued for a lot less in say 6 or 12 months time. Now in that case, if that were to happen, you would go and fall into a negative equity territory, which is one thing I've told you to avoid. And given our house prices have fallen and there was so much FOMO buying 12 months ago, especially in owner occupier markets like Sydney, some people are already in negative equity territory. But the people I'm urging to have a look at their equity are the people that bought say pre-2020. You might find yourself in a position where you've got more than 15 to 20% equity in that property. Let's say you've got a property worth $1 million, but your loan amounts probably sitting at about $600,000, and that's because the prices went up and you happen to have made a lot of equity in that property. What you could actually do is say bump up some of that equity position, take out some of that equity and have it sit in your bank account. This means that equity that's sitting there can act as your emergency fund, but it also allows you more choice. Given those bank valuations could go lower, if you have no intentions to sell and you've got really good cash flow management and you have no issues with making those repayments, then at least you have that cash available to you to go and invest and build your positions even further. Number three is invest in lower risk assets. What I mean by this is that you could go down the path of saying, well, I'm going to pick the bottom of crypto and I'm going to make so much money while I get a 30 or 40X. You could, but you could also lose a lot of money. When there's volatility in the markets and people are scared not knowing what's going to happen and the pending recession that we're supposed to have in 2023, you can bet that crypto is going to be volatile. If you're someone that is super emotional about markets and investing, then it's probably not worthwhile investing into higher risk assets. These are the assets that are going to be the most volatile. And yes, they do provide the greatest opportunity, but they will be super volatile and not give you any peace of mind. So what I would be doing is get my foundation right. If I don't have a foundation of good fundamental real estate, then I'm probably not playing in those markets like trading cards, crypto, or even stock markets. For me personally, I've said on this channel as well that I like to have a three-pillared approach. You can check out my entire 10-year plan in this video here. Number four is invest in cash flow positive properties. Now, tying in with the previous point I just made, which is invest in real estate, you can go out there and you could purchase negatively cash flowed or positive cash flow. Now with interest rates at the point they're at, it's a lot harder to find positive cash flow properties, but they still exist. And this goes back to the initial point that I made, which is if you need help sourcing these properties and you want speed to get into the market, then you definitely want to outsource that to a buyer's agent. The reason I would focus on the cash flow positive properties is because the machine takes care of itself. I've said this in previous videos as well. Why someone would go out, purchase an asset, and then hope that it performs well, given the fact that every week I'm losing money from my salary, is actually a loser's game. To be honest, if you think about Harvey Norman going out and opening up a new store, they don't say,
well, I'm gonna open that store and I know every single week I'll lose money, but I'll build equity. I think.
They're not going to do it that way. They want that store to be profitable. That profit allows them to go and borrow more, use that debt to go and leverage that position, and then go even further and build that machine. That's exactly how I did it. And that's what I think is going to be super important, especially if we have some volatility around payments, repayments going higher due to interest rates, and no one really knowing if the banks are going to increase their mortgage rates. So if you're in a position where you're already negative cash flow by 200 bucks a week, might be okay for now. But if that goes up to minus 300 or minus 400 in a time where the markets could move side to side, then you're definitely going to get shaken out and is not something you want to have, where it could be a great opportunity to hold on to assets and build your positions rather than offloading properties. Number five is be active. Now, the easiest way to explain what I mean here is you could go online and see how to do a push-up. It doesn't mean you're actually doing the push-up. You're just researching about doing the push-up. You might think about it all day and then you go, okay, I've got the proper form and that's how I think I'm going to do it and that's how I think I'm going to look. And then you actually don't do it that day. You wait the next day and get some more information. And then a week later, you do the same thing and you continue doing that, but in reality, you actually haven't started doing the push-ups. And that is the same thing with investing. You could think about investing and you could say, well, I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to do it this way. Unless you have some scar tissues and actually get involved, you're not actually going to know how your emotions play with the logic of investing into a market. So I would urge you to go, if you are looking at investing, and let's say you're actually comfortable investing $100, instead put $10 and then go in and just start building up those investing muscles. And that means when you are ready with high conviction to go in with some of those investments, you can actually execute a lot faster than someone that's never done it before. Again, I go back to the gym example, which is the fact that if you go in there and say, well, I could go tomorrow and lift a bunch of weights for 3 hours, but you've never been to a gym before, chances are you're going to be super sore after you do this 3 hour massive workout. But if you've gone in there and say you spent 20 minutes every day for the last 2 years, chances are when you're ready to go in for the 3 hour massive workout, you're going to be in a better position during the workout and post workout. That's the exact same thing when it comes to investing. We focus so much on like our physical body and whatnot, but what we also need to focus on is our investing muscles. These are muscles, and I can tell you now, you've got to be active, you've got to be executing. Same as what I saw during uni. Basically people saying,
well, no, I don't want to go and work now. What I'll do is I'll go and do a post-grad, get a master's in some bullshit.
And then say,
oh yeah, like now I'm going to get a job.
The fact is that you're now competing with people who've done 2 years in an actual job and you've just done the theory part. I would much rather focus on the experience, and then after 5 or 6 years, you can go back and then get your post-grad stuff. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm talking about uni. It was like 10 years ago for me, but let's continue. The final point I'm going to make around 2023 is it is so important to diversify your income. If you do not have a side hustle, if you are not thinking about greater income than what your job pays you right now, you are going to fall behind. And I tell you why this is so important. Because if we have volatility, like I think we're going to have, we're going to start seeing the system break. We're going to start seeing companies start letting go of people, and it's already begun. And we might be in a position where we think no one's going to get rid of my job. It's so safe. You might find yourself being made redundant. And if you lose your job, you've got no income. And if you've got no income during a year, which I think is going to present many opportunities, you're going to not be able to capitalize, and you'll have the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. This is why you need to start focusing on multiple streams of income, because when one income slows down, the others can pick up. And that is so difficult to do, especially now. I totally understand. You want to spend time on lifestyle. You want to go out. You want to go and travel and or do all those things. But let's be honest, audit yourself. You probably have an extra 5 to 10 hours you could find anywhere in the week that you can actually go and dedicate towards even a side hustle that pays you $100 a week. $100 a week is something that you're going, well, that's $5,000 a year. Why would I even bother? That $5,000 today could be worth $50,000 to $100,000 in the next 20, 30, or 40 years if you invest it correctly. Now, suddenly you're not working for $5,000 a year. You're working for $50,000 to $100,000 a year. And that's pretty much how I've approached building up my income streams over the last 10 years. I've always gone in thinking not today's value, but what this will become in the next 5 or 10 years. And those increases in income have allowed me to potentially purchase an extra property, and that allowed me to diversify my investing as well. So don't think about the short term. What we are seeing is just a normal correction in these markets. It's all just cycles. It's all white noise. What you need to do is understand the cycles, then be active when no one else is, and then be able to build out your position, hold on to your your positions now, protect your wealth. Wealth preservation is basically what they say. And then you can be in the best position possible for when things turn around and interest rates start cutting, which I think we'll see in 2023, then you're going to be better positioned than 99% of people. And that is when you take a big stride forward towards financial freedom. I hope you guys have enjoyed this video, and please don't be scared. If you have any inquiries, definitely drop them in the comments down below, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks, guys.